In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In today's gospel, we have two people that seem to be on complete opposite ends of the spectrum coming to Jesus. Jairus, a well-known leader of the synagogue, comes to Jesus, falls at his feet, and begs him to come to his house to heal his daughter. And we have a woman, ritually unclean, from having hemorrhages for 12 years. I don't know exactly what that is, and I don't want to know what that is. Who sneaks up behind Jesus, has the faith that says, if I can just touch his robe, that's enough. He doesn't have to come to my house. He doesn't even have to say anything or touch me or lay his hands on me and pray for me and heal me. All I need to do is just touch the hem of his garment, and I will be made whole. Two people from very different worlds, the ritually clean and the ritually unclean, both come to Jesus. And although their situations are radically different, they have one thing uniquely in common. They both need Jesus. He's not a want. He's not a luxury. They've come to the end of their ropes. And they realize that he and he alone is the answer for their problems. Jairus, in need of healing for his daughter, and this woman with the hemorrhage, I'm sure she'd tried everything. But she hears Jesus is in town, probably in Capernaum, and she says, maybe, just maybe, here's the answer. All recognize Jesus. All recognize that something was going on in their life that they couldn't handle. They recognize that they needed healing or safety or restoration or wholeness. They both came to Jesus basically realizing he was the answer to their problems. In both situations, the ground for healing and the seedbed of faith were strikingly similar. Both cases were pretty severe, both pretty hopeless by modern standards. I'm sure Jairus, like many people, had done all the regular things. He had maybe gone to the faith healers. He had maybe had some special anointment or home remedy that he had tried for his daughter. Nothing worked. We are told that the lady with the hemorrhage had spent countless sums of money and gone to many medical professionals trying to resolve her issues. In both of these situations, the ground for faith, the ground for healing and restoration, began with the same step. They both realized that Jesus was no longer a luxury, but a necessity. They could no longer trust in their own might, their own power, their own energy, or their own strength. And they realized that they needed something or someone stronger than their disease. They did the faithful thing. They put their body in the Lord's way. And they said, maybe, just maybe, here's the answer. One of the most interesting things that I have discovered in my life as a clergy person is that there are some people who actually think that Jesus is a luxury, that they don't really need him. They're doing pretty well in their life, thank you very much. They've gotten this far by their own grit, their own determination, their own effort, their own will, their own education, their own social standing, and they can say, you know, I'm not doing all that bad. Well, I got news for you. There's a time coming a time of disease, a time of lack of confidence, a time of joblessness, a time of pain. And you will realize that you cannot manage on your own. You need is what AA calls a higher power. I actually hate that term, because it sounds like the Lord is some cosmic nuclear energy source that we're somehow plugging into. On the contrary, what God offers is a personal relationship with Himself. He says He will come to us, He will be with us, He will never forsake us. But He requires one thing, and one thing only, and that is we acknowledge that He and He alone is sovereign. I'm sure we've all seen the bumper stickers, "Well, God is my co-pilot." Yeah. Not quite. If God is your pilot, you don't need a co-pilot. He desires to be first and foremost and sovereign, or nothing at all. In these two stories, we see that both Jairus and the woman in need of healing who had the hemorrhage, they basically exhaust all their opportunities and finally say, "Well, maybe, just maybe, this is the answer." And they find in Jesus healing and hope and restoration. The tragedy of this gospel story is that it ends where it does. But the very next story, Jesus goes home. He goes to Galilee. And you know what everybody says? "Oh, look, here's Jesus, here's the miracle worker, we're going to come to Him." No, they don't. You know what they say? "Isn't this Mary's kid? Aren't his brothers and sisters with us? Who does he think he is?" And the gospel text tells us, "And he could do no mighty work there, perhaps except healing a few people." But you see, the people of Galilee are contrasted with these two people because the people in Galilee didn't acknowledge that they needed God at all. "We're doing just fine. We've got our rituals. We've got the temple. We've got all the politically religious people do all the big stuff for us. We do all the festivals. We make the offerings. Isn't that enough, God?" At which point we have to answer no. At some point, some difficulty, some struggle, some tragedy will come in your life. And I hope you don't wait until that time to discover that the answer is Jesus Christ. He longs to be a part of our life. He seeks to know you on a very personal level. He seeks to meet your need. But the real question is, do you know you need Him? Do you know that He's ready to come into your life in a full and powerful way? If you need healing, you need Him. If you need direction, you need Him. If you've tried every other option in your life and still find life meaningless, try Him. Because you will stand in a long line of people throughout history who have acknowledged they need Him, and He is not disappointed. Join the ranks of Jairus and the woman with the hemorrhage whose life was forever changed by beginning your walk with the Lord and saying, "I need you. I can tell you in my own life, and I'm a priest, of course you expect stuff like that. No, you don't. No, you don't. I had a very academic religious life. My life was running along quite well, thank you very much. And you know, I had a dear spiritual director one time who said, you know, has God humbled you yet? I said, no. He said, relax, it's coming. And it did. And at that point, I too had to fall before Jesus and say, I need you. Not as boss, not as God, not as mentor, not as someone to read about or teach about. I need someone to meet my need. He did not disappoint. And he will not disappoint you. Amen.